The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And good morning, everybody. It is the 12th of August, 2022. Glad you are here. And man, do we have various things to cover, various things to talk about, various things to immerse ourselves in. Congressman Chip Roy was on Fox News not long ago talking about the continuing aftermath of the raid, talking about the continuing reactions to the raid, talking about the various things that continue to pour off the raid, all kinds of just all manner of things that we're going to learn a lot about today. We'll learn a lot. We may learn things that are in the actual warrant, in the actual receipt of things that they found in the raid. So we continue to talk about that and things from the week gone by and the stories of the dog days of August. Glad you are here and glad to proclaim that it is Friday.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good. So good. I got you.
We have another musical birthday out of the Outlaws. Guitarist Huey Thomason. Love me some Outlaws. Little Dirty City from Playing to Win. Glad you are here. Happy Friday. It is the 12th of August, 2022. What will we learn? What will we do? What will we make of the raid to end all raids? So let's hop some calls. Let's work your thoughts in with mine. 866-660-5759. Again, overnight. It's like... it's chess, it's a tug of war, whatever game metaphor you'd like to plug in. The Merrick Garland news conference yesterday seemed to be a bit of a taunt to the president to say, hey, listen, if you know, we're putting the ball in your court, we've supplied you with these things, you are free to release them. And then immediately there was speculation over, well, gee, if that doesn't happen, and this happened all week since the raid happened, is like, you know, well, if Trump doesn't release them, if he doesn't make clear what they were looking for, what they found, whatever documentation he has, it must mean that there's something in there that is damaging to him. But then overnight, the president encourages the release of documents tied to the raid. So, all right, the game of chicken continues, and we'll hop to your calls. 866-660-5759. We are in Tyler. Sandy, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am great. Thank you.
I am old enough to remember and hearing stories of Bill Clinton losing the launch codes when he was president. I'm just wondering if those are the same codes that the media in Garland are speculating that Trump has.
Well, don't know till we know, but your memory is good. And this was of a in fact, I've actually... let me go looking for some details of that, because it involved the divulgence that Bill Clinton once lost the nuclear codes for months, and this comedy of errors kept anyone from finding out. And are these the exact same things? I don't know. Won't know till we find out. I would love to think that I live in a land and at a time where if somebody, you know, says something, I can believe it. But I don't. I'm just letting the game completely come to me as this sensitive nuclear secrets of some sort that are in there. Do the codes change? I think they do. So I just don't know whether that's a big deal or not. And I guess we will all find out.
That I would love to know, but I didn't have clearance at the time. I still don't. But not a lot of people know about those stories or old enough to remember. But I would be interested in knowing.
Well, I tell you what, let's go back. You've given us the opportunity to take a short walk back into history, Sandy. So I'm going to do that. And thank you for bringing it up, because all of a sudden people are thinking, you know, what kind of nuclear secret might it be? Is it the codes? The codes are things that if you don't have it's designed to protect against a situation, looks like it's from some bad movie script, where like the phone rings and it's, this is the president, launch a nuclear strike on fill in the blank of whatever country you like, so that nothing can happen where the president, where somebody is pretending to be the president, or there's a fraudulent call, or somebody seeking or purporting to act on behalf of the president. Nuclear launch codes are secret things kept in the president's custody so that in the case of the desire to launch an actual nuclear strike, you know it's the president who's actually doing it. Here's a story. The process the president has to go through to launch the U.S.'s nuclear weapons is not as simple as pressing a button, but the key component of that process, the codes needed to authorize the launch, are never far from the president. At least, they're not supposed to be. According to General Hugh Shelton, who was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, from October 1997 to September 2001, the number of redundancies in the nuclear launch process is staggering. All the steps are dependent on one vital element without which there can be no launch. He wrote this in his 2010 autobiography called Without Hesitation, The Odyssey of an American Warrior. Okay, General Shelton. So that element, the president's authorization codes, is supposed to remain in close proximity to the president at all times, carried by one of five military aides representing each branch of the military. The codes are on a card called the biscuit within a briefcase called the football, and that is the president's emergency satchel. However, around 2000, according to General Shelton, a member of the department within the Pentagon that is responsible for all the pieces of the nuclear process was dispatched to the White House to physically look at the codes and to ensure that they were correct. That's a good idea. And that procedure is required to happen every 30 days. The set of codes is replaced every 4 months. So there's the answer to that question. That official was told by a presidential aide that President Bill Clinton did have the codes, but was in an important meeting and could not be disturbed. The aide assured the official that Clinton took the codes seriously and had them close by. The official was dismayed, but he accepted that excuse and left. When the next inspection took place the following month, that official was on vacation, according to Shelton, and another official was dispatched to the White House. The new official was met with the same excuse. President's very busy, takes the codes very seriously, has them on hand. General Shelton writes, this comedy of errors went on, without President Clinton's knowledge, I'm sure, until it was finally time to collect the current set and replace them with the new edition. At this point, we learned that the aide had no idea where the old ones were because they'd been missing for months. The president never did have them, but he assumed, I'm sure, that the aide had them like he was supposed to. Shelton and then Secretary of Defense William Cohen were alarmed. The problem of missing codes had been resolved by changing the codes, but they quickly acted to change the process itself, mandating that the Defense Department official visiting the White House physically see the codes, waiting there to do so if necessary. General Shelton and Secretary Cohen feared that this entire story would reach the press and become an embarrassing story, but word of the missing codes never made it out. And Shelton's recounting of it in his book in 2010 was, to his knowledge, the first time it had ever been shared publicly. Again, General Shelton writes, this is a gargantuan deal, and we dodged the silver bullet. You do whatever you can. You think you have an infallible system, but somehow someone always finds a way to screw it up. So the nuclear code. So again, it's not like there's something at Mar-a-Lago that somebody could use to launch a nuclear strike on Putin this afternoon. We will see. We will see what all of this is. Congressman Chip Roy was on Fox just a little bit ago talking about it. We'll play that. And I've got some additional questions for you. 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. Some of them relate to the political timing of all of this. In fact, let me spout them out right now, and we'll carry this forward into the next segment as well. You've heard all week, as I'm sure you have, that this has sort of galvanized the Trump base, that there are people who maybe were even a little dicey about him running again, who are maybe leaning more toward DeSantis or somebody else, folks who had a general attitude of gratitude for the Trump years, but feel like maybe it's time for the baton to be turned to a new generation of leadership, DeSantis or somebody. And this has caused a pause in that process, that there is something about this having been done to him that virtually necessitates the plot development that he announce and run and win as the ultimate comeuppance to the tormentors who have sought to dog him every step of the way. Do you feel that something going on? Do you sense that even in your own head and your own heart? 821, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me.
It is Buck's birthday.
Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale.
Buck Owens born this date, 1929.
I've got a tiger by the tail.
Little tiger by the tail.
Well, I thought today
it is a big old school classic country birthday. I'll give you one more coming out of our bottom of the hour headline burst with Gordon Griffin here a little bit. So one of them again is Buck Owens, born this date, 1929. Someone walking a similar path chronologically has a birthday today as well. So we'll offer that one up next. 866-660-5759. All right, a lot of audio to share, stuff to do, but let's calls to take as well. Folks joining us on the Friday, for which we are always grateful. We are in Arlington. Juan, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. Thank you very much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And just wanted to say, I voted for Trump the first time, Trump second time, and if he runs, I'll vote for him again. But right now, with all of the violence that's happening or supposedly happening with the FBI, it needs to be denounced clearly. Trump needs to make that crystal clear. Every Republican leader needs to make that crystal clear. Otherwise, they're going to use that at election time and beat us over the head that our silence
was complicity. This is so tricky, and let's sort through it, because every decent human being obviously denounces the kind of thing that happened yesterday. For those that don't know, an armed man wrapped in body armor tried to breach the FBI Cincinnati office, and he was shot and killed by police after he fled the scene and engaged in an hours-long standoff out in the boonies. So we have one disturbed guy, okay, one random disturbed guy that every human being, every decent human being clearly says that's terrible. As soon as we say that we now must line up every single Republican with a pulse, all the way up to Trump himself, so that we can march everybody out and denounce this, it kind of feels like we're tap dancing to a piper's tune of the Democrats. You know, I mean,
Mark,
that doesn't, I mean,
Mark, that,
go ahead, you, your
that
turn.
Announcement needed to be made before yesterday. As soon as there was talk, and I believe in social media, it's probably the Democrats fabricating it to make it look like Republicans.
Well, no, well, I don't
needed
know.
Needed to be made before yesterday.
Nothing wrong with that. Of course, obviously, denouncing something that is deplorable is always a good idea. I'll flesh out the point I was making and see what some other folks think. Thank you for bringing it up, because I guess the way it goes I'll do it in short form here, and then we'll hop into Gordon Griffin and then come back. And I'll tell you more about what happened. So is this really where we are? Isn't anything self-evident anymore? Is there the things that where there is a pressing need to denounce are the things where maybe there's not enough revulsion. Maybe there's a community of people who actually, honestly, Black Lives Matter riots. There are people who actually supported Black Lives Matter riots. So the notion of finding Democrats who either would or would not denounce the riots, it was an interesting list. Who does it? Who doesn't do it? There's nobody who is pro storming the FBI. There's nobody who is in favor of this armed guy. So the sensation I get is that when, and I think this gentleman has nothing but our best interests at heart. It's like, let's give ourselves cover. Everybody do the denunciation dance so that no one can say, wow, somebody just, because part of the danger of the denunciation dance is if 95% of every Republican you can find and stick a microphone, do you denounce the armed guy attacking the FBI Cincinnati office? Yes. Do you denounce the FBI guy? If Congressman Joe Schmo from the 13th district of Illinois, you know, doesn't do it, it's like this congressman must be pro storming the FBI. It's a game. It's a game they want us to play. I think it should be pretty self-evident that nobody's in favor of this guy who stormed the FBI office. Nobody is, and it runs toward sort of playing their game. Your thoughts? 866-660-5759. 832 into the newsroom we go. Here's Gordon Gray.
It's a lesson too late for the learning, made of sand, made of sand.
In the wake of an eye, my soul is
well, now you know.
In your hand, in your hand.
That's Dolly, so...
Are you going away?
That must be Porter.
Word of farewell.
That it is.
There be not a trace left behind.
The great Porter Wagoner. Born this date, 1927.
You know that was the last thing on my mind.
The last thing on my mind, 1967. That is 21-year-old Dolly Parton with Porter Wagoner. They had so many hits together before, you know, she busted out in the mid-70s with her, no pun intended, with her solo career. Last Thing on My Mind, Two Sides to Every Story, Just Between You and Me, not the same as the April Wine, Just Between You and Me from 1981. So Porter Wagoner's birthday. All right, 866-660-5759. So if this got by you, here's what the deal was with regard to the breach of the Cincinnati field office at the FBI. A guy clad in body armor tried to breach the FBI Cincinnati office on Thursday, shot and killed by police after he fled the scene and engaged in a shootout and standoff in a rural part of Ohio. Word on this guy was that he might have been in D.C., you know, in the days leading up, of course, to January 6th. Thanks a lot there. May have been present at the Capitol on the day of the attacks. Everybody will glom all over that, I'm sure. He was a 42-year-old guy who was not charged with anything in connection with January 6th. Federal investigators are examining whether he may have had ties to, obviously, the far-right extremist groups. Proud Boys, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So as everybody just gloms onto anything potentially, listen, this is terrible. What you will now have is the feeding frenzy of the attempt to conflate this guy's behavior with anyone who dares to criticize the FBI or criticize the Justice Department. Here's what happened. This guy attempted to breach the visitors screening area at the FBI office at about 9:15 yesterday morning. Agents confronted him and he fled. After getting out onto Interstate 71, He was spotted by a state trooper and fired shots as the trooper pursued him. He then left the interstate north of Cincinnati, abandoned his car on rural roads, then exchanged gunfire with police and sustained injuries, although no one else was hurt. He was shot after he raised a gun toward police. By now it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that fatal encounter with police happened after negotiations failed and police tried unsuccessfully to use what they called less lethal tactics. Then state highway workers blocked off the roads leading to the scene, helicopters flying all over the place. Officials locked down a mile radius near the interstate, urged residents and business owners to lock doors and stay inside. You never know. So here's the backdrop against which this happens. If you have an infuriating story and the target of this bad blood, the subject matter regarding this fury is FBI, DOJ, their corruption, their persecution of President Trump, and millions of people feel that proper consternation in a country of millions of people, will there be a couple of folks who just can't restrain themselves? Will there be a couple of folks who will do horrible things, who will not be able to manage their anger in productive and legal ways? And you'll have some folks snap a twig and do stuff like this. That answer is yes. So what do we do about that? Because now this all comes against the backdrop of growing threats in recent days against FBI agents and offices across the country. So what is the social media site? Is it Gab that's apparently popular with actual white supremacists and anti-Semites or something like that? And there are folks on there just spouting. And listen, for every person who will do who actually do something dangerous and illegal and threatening, for every one person for whom that's true, there are countless chowderheads and jackwagons spouting off online on some of these sites. So now federal officials say they've been tracking this array of other concerning chatter on Gab and other platforms. So listen, of course they got to keep track of that. Of course they do. And of course they should. Because amid all of that pernicious incendiary chatter, maybe, you know, an actual person who snaps a twig and goes and does something like this guy did at the FBI field office. The enormous problem beyond the actual terrible act of someone who does something like this and the ridiculousness of people who spout off in support of it or threatening to do it on social media sites, is it plays directly into the hands of the left. They are able to say, look at these people on these websites. Look at this guy who stormed the FBI. This is what you get. This is a direct linear progression from criticizing the FBI. That anybody criticizing the FBI, any show that I do that slaps Christopher Wray around, any segment that I do that identifies Merrick Garland as an embittered political hack, energizes and in fact causes, there's potential blood on my hands and yours for us issuing this proper and deserved criticism of the FBI and the DOJ. So it's like there are multiple layers of dreadful things that happen. And the first and foremost, the most important, is people shouldn't do stuff like this. And it's really, really important to not have stuff like this happen. But I don't know how possible it is in a country of 330 million, roughly half of whom are not fond of what happened at Mar-a-Lago, maybe more than that, because not everybody's a huge Trump fan and not everybody's a Republican who is thoroughly repelled by the raid. but deep in the recesses, in the annals of the communities of people who are all worked up and turned up and twisted off about the raid, there are going to be a couple of people who are complete nutbags. And every once in a while, some of them are going to do something like this. And it's terrible. And so to revisit what we were talking about last segment, no, I do not believe we go rounding up Kevin McCarthy, rounding up Mitch McConnell, every senator, every member of the House, every governor, every city councilman, every dog catcher, and give them the opportunity to denounce what this guy did. Everyone does. And the danger of playing the denunciation game is that it just asks for people to start keeping tallies of folks who maybe didn't denounce it enough, or effusively enough, or frequently enough. You know, can we just have some level of basic human decency in stipulating that everybody denounces what the guy did at the FBI in Cincinnati? What we should denounce, and I will, is the, here's the word of the week, weaponization of stories like this in an attempt to smear everyone who has the slightest criticism of the FBI or the DOJ. All right, just a little bit ago, Brian Kilmeade was on Fox just within about the last hour or so, and Congressman Chip Roy was there, and they were talking about the documents tied to the raid and the Trump encouraging their release.
I mean, yeah, listen to the Attorney General, the handpicked nominee of the current president who ran against the former president, say that he personally approved all this is obviously a little troubling. But to hear him yesterday say, oh, we're for the even-handed application of the law, give me a break. He says, in essence, trust us. Trust the DOJ that is going after parents for simply showing up at school board meetings. Trust the federal government that has the DHS leaving our borders wide open while they go after the Border Patrol agents who secure our border. Trust them when the CDC yesterday came out and said, oh, don't worry, all that stuff about quarantines and vaccines, I'll just forget all that, even though your kids have been shoved in the corner wearing masks and now they have mental health issues. Trust the federal government that's throwing money at Ukraine and doesn't even know where it's going. Give me a break. To ask us to trust this Department of Justice is an enormous leap of faith for the American people. And they should understand that the American people are sick and tired of empowering bureaucrats. And that's why I think the Republican Party needs to make a strong commitment to the American people that we will defund the tyranny, defund the bureaucrats that are attacking the American people on a daily basis.
Boom. Congressman Chip Roy, Texas 21. That litany of observations by Congressman Roy is exactly the foundation for the lack of benefit of the doubt shown to the FBI and the DOJ. Merrick Garland talked about these unwarranted, unfounded criticisms of the professionals at the FBI. Of course, there are professionals at the FBI. Of course, there are good, solid, patriotic professionals at the Department of Justice doing their duty every day. It's the leadership, and it's rotting from the top down. Because when Merrick Garland is corrupt, when Christopher Wray is politically tainted, then what you have is a huge disservice to rank and file attorneys at the Department of Justice, rank and file agents in the honorable FBI. Because that honor has been tainted by their own past and current behavior. 866-660-5759. More of your calls next. Mark Davis, 850.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more.
That's Margie Hendrix and the Raylettes.
And don't you come back no more.
Out front of Ray Charles.
What you say?
1961. Hit the road, Jack. This will now officially be in your head all day long. And it should be.
Oh, woman, don't treat me so mean. You're the meanest old woman.
A great American classic written by Louisiana native Percy Mayfield, born this date in 1920. There you go. Thank you, Percy, for writing one of the better songs in American history. To the phones, we're in Benbrook. Bruce, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, thank you, Mark. Great show this morning.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate your even temperament because you're probably even more angry than me. I haven't been this angry since the jackbooted thugs ripped little Elian Gonzalez out of the sailor's arms and his aunt and uncle in Miami and shipped him back to Castro's Cuba.
Where his father was.
Schools don't care about all these kids coming up from El Salvador. But my point is this.
Yes.
You know, my point is this. All of a sudden, they have enough money to arm 87,000 IRS agents.
Mm-hmm.
But the liberals and the Democrats said we don't have enough money to protect our schools with
Thank
armed guards.
And, or enough to protect the borders. We know we can audit your Uncle Fred until the day he dies, but we can't protect the borders and we can't you know, have the resources. You've identified precisely curious priorities, you know, whether we as individuals. You know, it's a part of it, and pardon this little speech. It's why tithing is important. Where your finances go, where your wealth goes, it indicates where your heart is. And in government, it indicates where the money goes. That's where your priorities are. So soaking, you know, various citizens of additional, and obviously everybody should obey the law and, you know, et cetera, but having 87,000 brand new IRS agents is more important than the things you just mentioned.
It's unbelievable. Amen to everything you just said.
Well, back at you, brother. Thank you. Great way to end the hour. As people, where we devote our wealth, where we devote our resources, what we spend money on, it indicates where our hearts are, right? It indicates where our hearts are. When government spends money, the decisions made by a given White House, the decisions made by a given Congress, a given city council, little this, little that, it shows where their priorities are. Government spends money on the things that it thinks are important. And if government is spending money on things that you don't think are important, then it's time to elect new people, isn't it? 8:59.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.